Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. We're going to be looking at the book of James this morning. So if you'd like to pick up a Bible, you should find one under the seat in front of you. I'm going to read just a few verses from James 4. It's page 1215, if you've got one of the church Bibles. Trust that those of you who've not got small children have had a nice few restful days the last few days. Those of you who've had small children, I hope you've been able to cope with the sleep deficit. Somebody's already said to me that 9 hours has counts for about two nights for them. I'm sure that's true of quite a few in the room. We're looking at James 4. I'm just going to read verses 13 to 17. The book of James is really a contrast between the sort of wisdom of the world, the wisdom of our culture and society, one way to live and another way to live in line with God's wisdom and God's design for us. So think about the issue of plans today. So let me read James 4 and verse 13. James says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Now, let me pray and ask God to help us understand this passage. Father, we've been thinking about the fact that you're the provider of all we have and the provider of our physical food. But you have told us that we do not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from your mouth. And so, Lord, as we hear these words from your mouth to us, pray you give us really receptive ears, willing soft hearts, and the ability to put into practice what you call us to hear. And we ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, 2020 is almost upon us. It's going to be the year of the Tokyo Olympics. It's going to be the year of the Football World Cup in Qatar. Seems like it might even be the year when Brexit gets done, but stranger things have happened. It should be the year of a US presidential election. It's going to be 400 years anniversary since the Mayflower set sail for the New World. You may or may not know, it's going to be 200 years since the birth of Florence Nightingale and Beethoven. More soberingly, it's 75 years since the dropping of the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And surprisingly to me, 30 years since the start of the first Gulf War. 2020 brings up some things that we're anticipating and some different anniversaries. But I wonder what you are looking forward to as you contemplate 2020. The things that you're looking forward to. Have you got some plans already in place for 2020 and things you hope to do in the year to come? We're going to talk just for a few brief minutes about plans this morning and think about, well, what kind of plans are really good to make? What are the dangers of plans? And what are God's plans for us in 2020? I think we can be confident about some plans that God definitely has for us as we move into the new year. So let's have a look at that, James for page 1215, if you've closed that. I've got two main things to talk about today. And the first is this, avoid self-confident plans for 2020. Avoid self-confident plans. Have a look at verse 13. It says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." Some of us, I guess, are more naturally planners than others. And he really wants the planners amongst us to listen. And not because he's about to say, well, you shouldn't make plans at all. Because having a plan is somewhat inevitable, isn't it? We make plans to get our revision done for our exams. Hopefully that's a plan that some of you have got exams coming up are starting to make. Perhaps we're starting to make plans for holiday for 2020, where to go. Plans to book accommodation. I don't think James is saying, well, don't make any plans at all. It's very clear, I think, as you go through the life of Jesus, that he had a very clear plan for his ministry. He was always set toward Jerusalem. He was fulfilling a very definite purpose. In the book of Proverbs, planning for the future is commended. It's commended if we store up wisely. So I don't think the text is saying here, never make a plan. That's not where it's going. But what he is challenging, James here, is self-confident plans, where we are certain of our plans and sure of the outcome. It's really the assumption that we can set out what we're going to do and we can control all the outcomes. You see, the planner of verse 13, notice, has no humility about themselves and there's no sense of honouring God. So there's, notice, God doesn't feature in verse 13 at all. God is not mentioned in verse 13. These are independent plans made independently of God. He's challenging us when we say, I determine my future and I'm in control of what's going to happen to me. And that's a real danger for all of us, isn't it? To think that we're in control and we can determine all the outcomes. As long as we work hard enough or we manage things well enough or we de-risk everything, that life will just turn out as I expect it to. And he's going to say in a moment, well, that's actually completely ridiculous. You can't do that. And he'll give us a couple of reasons in a minute. But before we get there, does verse 13 trigger any alarm bells for you immediately? The sort of plans that you've been locking into. Perhaps you've started to think about your plans for 2020. It's kind of natural to do that this time of the year, isn't it? Perhaps you've put together your budget or you've decided different things you want to do, projects you're going to complete at home, that sort of stuff. But whilst you've got a clear idea of what you would like to do in 2020, as you sit here this morning, you realise, well, God's not been part of any of that planning. Like, God's not really featured in my thinking. We tend to have this natural idea of we do pray about our plans, but the way we pray about our plans is we make our plans, we get them all nicely tied up, and then we pray and ask that God will bless those plans and God will make them happen, as opposed to bringing him into the plans and the planning and asking what he wants those plans to be. So my first question for you is, are you making plans with just self-confidence and self-reliance as you look into 2020? Well, verse 14 gives us a couple of reasons why we need to watch out for this self-confident planning, why that's such a foolish thing to do, a couple of reasons. And the first is this, we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. That's what verse 14 says. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. And we don't like to think about that, but it is very obvious, isn't it? That we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might have a really good idea that tomorrow you're going to go and visit great Aunt Petunia and her sausage dog in Wigan, but you just don't know if that is going to be what happens. Cars break down, dogs get sick, motorways get closed, weather comes along the way. We don't control the future, do we? Not even the next 24 hours. We just don't know what will happen. Do you notice how James sort of collapses the time down? So in verse 13, the plan is all about the next year. We're going to do this for the next year, the next, 366 days. I think 2020 is a leap year. They're looking to the next 366 days. And James says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You can't even control day one. So how do you think you can control day 366? We don't have that kind of control. Only God does. One friend once prayed for me, and he prayed thanking God that the macro and the micro were in God's hands, which was really helpful for me to think about, that in this year ahead, for all of us, the macro things, the very biggest things that will take place in your life, and the micro things, the tiniest details, all of those are in God's hands, not first in ours. Now, I think the implication of all of this is it's not we'll stop making plans altogether and just live spontaneously and that's the way to live, but it's hold the plans we make really lightly. Hold on to them with just a light grip. And if we do that, then we're not going to throw our toys out of the pram when our plans have to change, as they inevitably will have to, but we'll be more able to accept God's control for us. If we hold our plans lightly, then we're not going to have to frantically try and manage everything to be able to try and get our way and to make things happen. We won't manipulate the people around us in order for those things to take place. See, I think God likes to mix things up from time to time. And he just does that in our lives. Not always in ways we can really get our heads around or understand, but just to remind us that we're not as in control as we like to think we are. So let me ask you, are you relying, as you look into 2020, are you more reliant on your plan than you are on God? More reliant on sketching out how January and February and March looks than what God has got for you? We should be thankful, you know, for those moments when God just sort of disrupts the plan and it doesn't work out as we thought, because those are the moments we stop leaning so much on trusting ourselves and start to remember we need to be trusting him. I don't think he messes our plans up to just have a bit of fun with us, but he does it because he loves us. Does it because he likes to disturb us from our self-trust. He knows the safest place for us is trusting him, not trusting in our plans. I think the other reason why we need to make be aware of making self-confident plans is because we're like a vanishing mist. That's what the other half of 14 says. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. All of us in the room this morning are those who are here today and are gone tomorrow. I did one of those kind of quizzes that pops up this time of year that BBC Sport puts up on their website. And the quiz was to name the Liverpool team from 2005 that played in the last World Club final. They just replayed that. And could I name the team from 2005? And I think I've got pretty good football knowledge. I got 5 out of 14 of the players in that team. You're all going to go back and now do that quiz, those of you football fans, and see if you can beat 5. But my point is, we're just not that memorable. That was a really significant team and match, and yet I could only get about a third of them. We are a vanishing mist. That's who we are. And why is that term so helpful? Well, a mist, once it's gone, like, we can't see it. It hasn't left its mark, has it? You start one of those sort of gloomy January mornings with a mist, but often it's gone by mid-morning. You can't even tell it was there. Not many of us in the room today could name probably our great-grandparents, but certainly not our great-great-grandparents. If you can, sort of hats off to you, but I'm guessing that not many of us could name our great-great-grandparents. We're so temporary. We're so temporary. And when we're so obsessed with our plans, when we sort of assume what we get done, our assumption is that what we get done and what we achieve and the mark that we leave is what matters. That's what this person's about in verse 13. It's about getting something done. It's about carrying on business. It's about making money. It's about getting stuff done. And it's also about being, well, secure for the future. I'll make a lot of money. I'll make life comfortable. But 2020, God has not designed you and I to be about making a name for ourselves, or about trying to find a way to make life as comfortable as possible for ourselves. That's not God's biggest desire for you in 2020. His desire for us is to call attention to him. Because whilst we're all fading and whilst we're all passing through, he is the permanent reality. Which means 2020 is not first about you and your plans and what you're going to do and how you might be comfortable, but it is about him. See, one of our biggest challenges, really, as those who would say we're followers of Jesus, is we say we live for him, but we don't really do that in practice. We say we're committed to him, but we spend the majority of our time thinking about how life can be comfortable for us, about how we amass stuff for ourselves, or how we achieve this or that for us or for our kids, maybe. Guys, I guess some of us are probably wasting life. And not because we're doing too little, but because we're doing too much. Because there's too much that's about us or about the welfare of our family, and we never stop to just ask God what he wants, what God's plan for us is. Some of us are exhausted today And not just because we've got little kids, but because we never say no to anything. We never stop. We like to think the world rests on our shoulders. And it's all our responsibility. But the world doesn't rest on your shoulders this morning. Like it really doesn't, and it can't do, can it? We can't bear that. Because all of us are evaporating. All of us are fading away and passing through. We're just not that important. In a few days' time, I guess some of us are going to kick off new diets and new exercise regimes. We've got that planned for the 1st of January. You can see I'm not going to bother. I'm there already. I don't need to worry. Now, it is a good thing to think about our physical well-being. But however good a diet you put yourself on and however well you keep to it and however much exercise, just remember every day you're vanishing just a little bit more. We're not here forever. In 100 years from now, I guess hardly any of us in the room are still going to be here. So please don't exercise and don't plan and don't diet pretending that this life can go on forever and that you can keep yourself immortal and away from fading. Like, we can't do that. We don't have that power. That's not our design. But there's another life to come. There's another life we're heading to. There's another life that we're training for. Most people that we know are trying to maximise the value of this life and they're doing nothing for the next because it's all they know. It's all they can see. Like, we don't need to get sucked into that. We don't need to be on the same page as that. We can live with freedom in this life because we know it's just a dress rehearsal for the life that's to come. I'm not saying don't bother dieting. I'm not saying don't bother exercising. It's a good thing to take care of our bodies. It's a good thing to take care of our health. But let's not do that pretending that we live forever and that we can do that. We are fragile people, really fragile. Our lives are in God's hands. We've had the funerals of a couple of members over this past year. One member was in his 90s. And I was expecting, really, that a funeral could come at any time. Another member was younger than that. And I wouldn't have anticipated at this time of year that would have, this time last year, we would have had a funeral. We just do not know. Our lives are very fragile. So let's stop pretending we will live forever or we'll cheat death or we'll cheat the progress of time. We can't do that. So don't make plans that way. Don't make plans as if this life is all there is. It's God who's our security. It's God who's our certainty. So for 2020, we need to avoid self-confident plans. And then more briefly, we need to adopt God's plans for 2020. We need to adopt God's plans. Well, can we say something a bit more positive then about planning and looking forwards? Well, I think verse 15 to 17 do give us God's plans for 2020 for us. What God would like us to be focused on in the year ahead. And if you look down at 15 to 17, you might think, well, that doesn't look like much of a plan to me. But it's more on how we live and what we're like and our character than about what we get done, what we tick off our to-do list. So what are God's plans for us in 2020? Well, the first is this, to live in 2020 with submission. To live with submission. Verse 15, instead you ought to say, instead of these self-confident, self-reliant plans, instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. He's really saying, look, do your planning under the authority of your Heavenly Father. I don't think this text means that we need to say, if it's the Lord's will, every time we say we're going to do something, like a sort of mindless slogan or a sort of caveat that we put to everything. It's not that we find people in the Bible saying this after every time they say they're going to do something. So the pattern is not to repeat the words, but the pattern is to repeat the mindset. To have this mindset that we are submitting to God's rule and purpose, which means we mustn't be locked into our plans for the year ahead. We're not to get frustrated and angry when the Lord directs us in different ways. As a church, we've pursued various plans over these past 4 or 5 years, and so far the Lord seems to have said no or have shut different doors, and we're still waiting to see what he's calling us into. And while we keep pushing doors and pursuing options and looking to see what God's calling us to do, we're called to live with submission in the meantime. More important than our desires or what we hope to get done in 2020 is what God's will is for us, what God's purpose is, what he's leading us to. And this is a big tussle for us, really, as we make our plans, as individuals or as a church. It's not easy to live with this kind of submission because our hearts just naturally don't like to loosen up that control. We don't like to do that. And it is a difficult thing. Remember, even Christ in the garden had to wrestle and say, "Your will be done," when everything was tempting and pulling him in the opposite direction. But we are called to live with submission. We're called to live as well with humility. With humility. James says here in verse 16, don't boast in arrogant schemes. Don't boast in arrogant schemes. What's an arrogant scheme? Well, it's a plan where we say, I can really make this happen. I can get this done, and I don't need God to make it happen. I can do this on my own. For 2020, God wants us to learn and grasp more that we can't do anything without him. Can't do anything without him. I don't know if ever you were a kid or you've taken your kids out to do this and you've gone to play something like, I don't know, crazy golf, and you're there and they grip the putter and the putter's so big they can't really hold it, they can't use it properly. So you sort of put your hands over their hands. And as they go to swing the club, basically you're swinging the club. Now, in one sense, of course, they hit the ball, don't they? Because they've got their hands on the putter. But where does all the power come from? Where does the control come from? Where does some sense of direction come from? It comes from you, with your hands over theirs. And when it comes to life, we are just like toddlers with that putter. It may feel like we're doing things, but it's God who enables, God who energizes, God who gives us every opportunity we have. If you're here and you've been given many opportunities in life, you've not derived those for yourself. Those have come from him. The gifts you have come from him. You didn't decide what family you'd be born into, what country you'd come into. All of that's come from him. So whatever opens up this year, whatever we're able to achieve and look back on even by this time next year with a real sense of pride or satisfaction, we need to know it's happened because he's enabled that to be the case. And James says in his typically blunt way, if we boast in our schemes, in our arrogant schemes, that's an evil thing to do. So we don't boast. Let's live 2020 with humility, with submission, with humility, humbly thanking God for the opportunities he's given us, for the ability we have to get anything done at all. And then the third and last thing, that the plan that God would love us to adopt, submission, humility, and then love. Love. Verse 17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Which feels on the surface a little bit of a standalone. How does that really connect with the other verses that are here, verse 17? Well, if you look back at verse 13, it seems to me that the planner had lots of plans for themselves. It was about what they would do. But God's call for us in 2020 is not about doing good for ourselves. It's about the opportunities we have to be able to bless other people, the good that we ought to do. I read some time ago that the most important meeting of our day might be the one that isn't in our diary at the start of it. That could be the most important meeting of your day. And if you think back over this past year, how often was the most critical moment of the day, the unplanned one, where God had an appointment in his diary for us that he didn't tell us about in advance. Something he called us to do. You see, there's a really good godly flexibility that says, more important than my plan is doing good to others, perhaps unexpectedly. Some of us get so locked into our plan and what we're going to do that we miss the people around us who really need our help in that moment. Some of us are so locked into our family that I start to miss other people I need to serve. Some of us are so locked into being needed by others that maybe we've been neglecting our families and missing the need of them. You see, there's a good to do more than we could ever possibly fulfill ourselves. God is not calling us to do everything. God is not calling us to do that. He knows we're finite. Some of us need to stop trying to do everything, but some of us need to start trying to do something, some good that we could do for others. He's calling us in the year ahead, whatever that looks like for you individually, to love others more than to love yourself. The one thing I know about all of us in the room is that all of us are self-obsessed. That hasn't just come from chatting to all of you individually, but we are all self-obsessed, aren't we? We're all self-obsessed. Self-pity comes over us very quickly, empathy for others very slowly. But our excuse is not to just say, well, I am a bit self-obsessed, that's what I am by nature, or I've got a bit of tunnel vision, or I'm a bit of a control freak, so I really like my plans, or I tend to not always notice when somebody else close to me is really in need. James would say there's a good for us to do, and there are moments when you need to abandon your plan and see the good and look with Christ's eyes on those around us. In 2020, our call is to love people more than our plan. To love people more than our plan. So, as we wrap this up, how can we live this way? It's all very well to talk about living with this submission and humility and love for others, but most of us would put those down as great resolutions on at the start of this week, and those will be difficult to do. So how can we live that way? How can we live holding our plans really loosely? To live with submission, humility, and love. Well, you are not going to be able to do that until you know you've got a Father who loves you. Like a Heavenly Father who really loves you. I am sure going into 2020, as much as I know that all of us are self-absorbed, that you've got a Father who loves you more than you know. More than you've ever begun to imagine. A Father who loves you. One pastor told his wife once, who was really struggling with guilt and discouragement, he said, the trouble is, you're acting like you're an orphan. And you're adopted. You're in the family. You're a child. You're living as if you haven't got a Father who loves you. And you do. Now for 2020, whether you naturally plan things or you take things as they come, whatever is going on for you, you have a Father who loves you. And you don't need to live as an orphan this year. You don't need to live as if there is not somebody greater than you. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. You've got one who's adopted you and brought you into the family and is always looking out for you in the year to come. Who will not send anything your way that isn't the gift of a loving Father. Who hasn't always got your best interests at heart. So 2020, I've got no idea what that's going to hold for you personally. And I've got no idea what that might hold for us as a church. Loads of unexpected things might happen. But our Father's here. Our Father's got hold of us. He'll take care of things because he loves us deeply. And we can trust him more than our plans for 2020. And in the freedom of knowing we belong to him, live with submission and humility and love. And just leave everything else with him. But let's pray for the grace to do that now as we pray. Let me give you a few moments to pray. And why don't you just reflect on maybe what God's been saying to you this morning. Challenges God's been making. And ask God to help you know how to respond to that. And what to do in light of that. Father, thank you that as we look into the year to come with its uncertainties, with things we hope for, maybe with things we're anxious or concerned about, Father, thank you that our confidence doesn't have to be in our great plan, doesn't have to be in how we're going to manage everything that comes along, but our confidence is we're not orphans anymore. Confidence is that we're children. Confidence is our Heavenly Father has us in his family. and that you are a father who's not neglectful. You're not a father who gets too busy. You're not a father who fails to see the needs of his family, but who loves his children and who sent our great older brother even to give his life for us. Father, help us to live not as orphans this year, but as children, and therefore to trust you, especially when plans go wrong, especially when the unexpected comes. Help us to put our confidence and our hope in you. And we pray those things for each other now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to reflect on those things together as we stand and sing our closing song this morning. Blessed be your name. Let's stand to sing.